Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Hello, and welcome to BSP, Believer Skeptic Podcast.
The podcast where two idiots debate weird phenomena.
I'm Chris. I'm the believer.
I'm Cody. I'm the skeptic.
And if this is your first time listening to us, we are an LGBTQ paranormal comedy podcast, and this is a minisode, and we are proud members of the Podmoth Network as well.
That works. And if this is your first time tuning in, we are releasing a minisode. Dear God, I can't talk. It's an unedited, unedited interim little treat for you. So we release a full episode every other week with all kinds of information on a paranormal topic. In the interim week, we do one little story a piece that teases the upcoming topic. We call it a mini-sode, and it's kind of a game to see if you can guess. And this one, I can go ahead and say right now, Easter's coming up, so we're going to do a special Easter episode. So that is your clue, but I don't know if the stories will give it away, because I don't think we know exactly what we're doing, do we?
No. And just so you know, we are not a day late, but a few hours late, just because both of us are dealing with a lot of not bad stuff, but just some stuff in life right now that's taking a little precedence to everything else. So, yeah, it's just a little crazy right now and kind of figuring out what the next few months are going to look like. Be on the lookout for that. We're not too sure ourselves yet.
That is very true. Yeah, we're having some conversations about just what's going on, when things are going to let up or down, or just a lot. It happens. It happens sometimes.
And again, it's all good stuff. It's just a lot of overwhelming stuff.
Yeah, exactly. When you have a lot of good stuff, but it all starts overlapping, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It gets crazy. And also, if my sound today is not up to par, I apologize. I feel echoey today, and I've recorded, we're not recording together again, but I've recorded from here before, and it's always sounded good, but for some reason in my head, it sounds weird.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you, so.
Maybe, well, there's a dog in the other room chewing on his bone, and so maybe that's what, he's like, har, har, oh, har, har.
Okay. All right.
So anyway.
Then. So.
I think you're first this week.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, get it.
All right. So my first story today, I am talking about the strange case about a man called Stephen Kubacki.
Stephen Bukaki?
Kubacki.
Oh.
K-U. Oh. I got my information from an article on Medium.com and a blog post by someone called Ellen Killoran. So, in 1978, Stephen Kubacki was a 23-year-old student at Hope College in Holland, Michigan, who was set to graduate a few months following the incident I'm about to talk about. Stephen was described by some as brilliant and a, quote, little more free-spirited than the average student. Stephen was known to be a passionate outdoors person who had some experience. Just a few months before that, he had done some mountain climbing while studying abroad in Europe. Well, on February 20th, 1978, Stephen embarked on a solo cross-skiing trip, which started with him skiing over Lake Michigan. This was not a surprise to anyone. It was something he had done before, so he is confident and thought nothing of it. Well, the following day, some people that were in the area found a set of skis and a backpack. The two people immediately contacted the authorities, who found that the contents of the bag and skis belonged to Stephen. Search and rescue began to look for the missing man by foot and air, and in their search, the only thing they found was a 200-yard trail of footprints in the snow that led past the edge of Lake Michigan but ended abruptly. There was no other evidence or sign of Stephen. Authorities stated that Stephen most likely fell through the ice and died, despite no indication that the ice had been broken. Some investigators didn't buy the theory, and as a result, they sent Stephen's dental records to Chicago to determine if he possibly could be a match to any of John Wayne Gacy's unidentified victims.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Well, on the night of May 5th, 1979, around 15 months following his disappearance, Stephen found himself waking up in a field in Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
What?
Mind you, Pittsfield is some 720 miles away from where he started his ski trip.
And this is over a year later.
Yep.
What?
Stephen was not able to recall what happened between February 20th, 1978 and May 5th, 1979, and didn't know what date it was until he bought a newspaper and saw the date on it.
What?
Yep. When he woke up, he was wearing clothes he didn't recognize.
What?
Additionally, he had a satchel that contained maps and other gear which would show or indicate that he traveled to Sacramento, San Francisco, Reno, Chicago, and Utah. And if that were not enough, he also had $40 in cash, new glasses, sneakers, and a t-shirt from a Wisconsin marathon. In an interview not long after his reappearance, he had said that he felt like he had done a lot of running.
He's Forrest Gump is what it sounds like.
Yeah. After figuring out where he was, he went to his aunt's house, who happened to live around 20 miles away. There, he was reunited with his family. When asked about the prior 15 months, Stephen said the last thing he remembered was feeling cold and being scared of being lost in the frozen darkness. At that time, he stated he remembered everything up to the disappearance. Some have theorized that he may have been ill at the time of his trip, leading to him getting lost, but Stephen denied this, saying he was in a healthy state of mind at the time of his trip. He told reporters that he thought he blacked out due to exhaustion and exposure to the elements. He sought out medical attention, but denied the request for psychiatric evaluation. Some others have theorized that his disappearance had to do with something known as the Lake Michigan Triangle. Much like the Bridgewater Triangle, which we have discussed in a past episode, the Lake Michigan Triangle is a site of unexplained events, disappearances, and so on that go back many, many years. Here, there have been stories about ghost ships, ghost planes, UFO sightings, and a number of other strange stories. As for Stephen, he has since written a book called Meta-Mathematical Foundations of Existence, Gödel, Quantum, God, and Beyond. I know it sounds thrilling. Yeah. That being said, Stephen has refused to speak about his disappearance with reporters, as does his ex-wife. As of a blog post from 2019, Stephen remains alive and well in the Pacific Northwest, where he works as a psychologist. And there you have the mysterious disappearance and reappearance of Stephen Kubacki.
Wow. Bukkake has never been so enticing or interesting. That is unbelievable. Like, I can't believe you wasted that on a minisode.
Whatever.
That was so amazing. My favorite part of the whole thing is people thought that he fell through the ice, and they're like, but experts had doubts because there was not a single break in the ice.
Exactly.
It's like, wow, why are they doubting? Like, that's just weird to me.
I guess John Wayne Gacy was a bigger draw than a missing man.
That is true. I don't know. I just have to wonder if he decided to take a little break and then faked it? I don't know. That's the weirdest story ever. And I definitely see the tie.
Yeah.
Especially the way you ended it. It was kind of like, if you would have used two different words, that would have been it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, everyone. See if you can guess from that.
Hi, I'm Molly.
And I'm Abigail.
We're sisters.
And we believe in ghosts.
Welcome to Supernatural Sisters, a podcast all about ghostly encounters, bone-chilling monsters, and basically anything that goes bump in the night. Each week, we talk about a haunted place, a legendary monster, or a story that sends shivers down our spine. And maybe we'll talk about the pottery scene from Ghost.
He's not a ghost in that scene. There are other parts of that movie where he's a ghost.
Subscribe wherever you get podcasts.
And remember, we believe you.
Okay, well, that was amazing. So I'm going to now proceed into the land of disappointment to give you a much less interesting story. Are y'all ready?
Oh, yeah.
I am taking this from easyguide.biz, and I decided that I would share a handful of Easter traditions from around the world. Some of them are weirder than others. So first, we're just going to go to New York City. This is the easy, basic, bland one. We're going to talk just a minute about the Easter parade because it sounds really fun. I want to go and see it. So while Easter Monday is not officially celebrated in America, New York's Easter traditions are definitely unique. Mm. In the mid-1800s, ladies from the New York aristocracy would flaunt their Easter finery after church. Over time, this has developed into the Easter Parade and Bonnet Festival of Fifth Avenue. In a fashion ball type of event, fashionistas must prepare looks for one or more of five categories. So they have matching masks and hats, eco-chic, the fashionista, glam pet, and Easter best. These looks are paraded through the fashion district of Fifth Avenue and judged by an elite panel of judges. I think that's so fun. And there was a picture that I think was the eco chic because it was like a woman and her dress was made out of lettuce and she's holding like a lettuce fan and she's fanning herself with lettuce.
Weird.
It was weird. The thing about that article that I thought was funny was it talks about Easter Monday, but that has no relevance to the rest of the article whatsoever. But anyway, number two, we're going to go into the Czech Republic, into some misogyny, and we're going to call this whipped for Easter. So due to the suppression of religion under the communist regime from 1948 to 1989, the Czech Republic now sees Easter as a celebration of spring and the beginning of new life, with the kind of religious connotations of the resurrection taking a back seat. Now, there is a popular tradition that takes place that has nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This odd 800-year-old Czech tradition of, oh God, it's called Pamlazka, and it means whip in English, consists of young boys knocking on the doors of houses where young girls live. When the girl answers the door, the boys take braided sticks of willow branches and whip the girls on the backs of their legs, or they throw water on her while reciting a traditional carol asking for eggs.
What?
Yeah, this is meant to bring good luck and fertility to the girl, as well as chase away illness and bad spirits. And so it's like, here, let me help you feel better and less evil by whipping you and throwing water on you.
That is bizarre.
It's really weird, and it just sounds super misogynistic to me. But the next one has a much more fun name. It's called Smigus Dingus, and this is in Poland. And it says in Poland that Easter's celebrated traditionally with church and chocolate at the forefront. So this is one that is very Catholic. However, there is a bizarre ritual that takes place referred to as Smigus Dingus. Okay. Translating to Wet Monday, this actually takes place on the day after Easter. It said this is a tradition whereby people throw buckets of water on each other. While this funny act, the activity's origins are most likely linked to fertility, like in the Czech Republic. And it's also a tidy pagan mythology. Today, Smigus Dingus is an Easter highlight of children, teens, and spouses who just want a water fight. So really just turns into a big, huge water fight, which sounds like a lot of fun.
That's interesting.
Yep. And then finally, we'll take you to the land down under and put a shrimp on the barbie.
Oh, and God. We're just insulted a whole continent.
That was the worst thing I've ever done. We're going to talk about not the Easter bunny, but the Easter bilby. So compared to Northern Hemisphere countries, the celebration of Easter in Australia actually marks the beginning of autumn as opposed to spring.
Yes.
And I didn't even think about that. Yeah, because they're in the Southern Hemisphere. So it's actually ringing in like winter's coming.
Yeah.
Now, unlike other nations where the Easter bunny is admired and respected, Australians see rabbits as being pests for wrecking produce and land. This actually prompted what's called quote-unquote, rabbit-free Australia, which was 20 years ago, to ditch the Easter bunny for the Easter bilby, which is known as it's the rabbit-eared bandicoot, and it's called a bilby. For this reason, whenever you go to Australia, you don't go to the store and see chocolate bunnies everywhere. You actually see chocolate bilbies, And there's actually pictures of them. So it's so weird because you see the same Easter packaging, but in it, there's this weird little thing, and it's the bandicoot. This has actually gone to grow to a national scale, so it's kind of their thing. But they actually donate proceeds to help the bilby, because the bilby, which once occupied 70% of Australia, only has 600 to 700 of the animals left globally. So if you are so inclined, I know, to donate to a charity and you love animals, maybe that's one to donate to. But I actually want to find and give you as a gift an Easter bilby, and then get pictures taken with the Easter bilby. And so that is just a few. There were people so many Easter traditions all over, some really weird, some not so weird. I actually want to go to to New York City and go to this parade, because it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, that was, they're definitely connected.
So, yeah, definitely connected. I think you'll see it. And I think it's fun having
Well, we also have to decide on a topic. So there's that.
Oh, that's true. How about if people guess, we will, anyone who guesses, unless you do something purposefully ridiculous, we will try to incorporate one of your guesses into a story. What about that?
Oh, wow. Okay.
We'll see. We'll see. Or we'll just not do that and do whatever the hell we want.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone. Well, all right. Well, we hope you're having a lovely, I was going to say Lenten season, but some people may or may not celebrate that. I actually have a Wiccan friend who has given up stuff for Lent, because it's just, sometimes people just need a reason just to live better. It doesn't matter what religion you are, but
well,
either way.
You shouldn't have a religion or a religious, let me put it this way. I was like, you shouldn't have to have a reason just to be a good person. Just be a good person because you want to.
Exactly. You're like, let me put it this way. And I'm like, just put it anyway. Well, you're not saying anything.
It was hard to come up with the right words. Anyways.
No, I get it. I get it. I'm so playing.
But thank you, everybody, for listening. As always, you know where to find us. Send us your stories and all that good stuff, et cetera, et cetera. With that.
And with that. Bye.